If you haven't discovered already, at the end of our service, there's cake. I think some of you discovered that already. But the reason it's out there is to celebrate our graduates and just join in them today in that that milestone. It's a big deal. It's a good thing that our that we come together to celebrate our students this way. So at the close of our service, or later on in this service, we're going to show a DVD presentation of seniors that have been here. Some still are, some have moved away, but seniors that we want to remember today, we'll bring them, any that are here, forward, lay hands on them, give them a new Bible as a gift from us to them, and continue our celebration with them. And Charles is right, it is Pentecost, and Pentecost, Acts 2, Acts 3 are, well, they're as good as it gets. God pouring out his Spirit upon us, it's just so good, and it's a good Sunday to remember that. I'm not speaking to that, I'm speaking to more our seniors in that way. So it is Pentecost Sunday, and so once again we want to invite his Spirit to lead us in all we say and do. Let's pray before we go any further. Merciful and loving God, thank you, thank you, thank you. We've got so much to be thankful for. Your Spirit is one of them. What a blessing, what a joy, what a comfort that is to know, as Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send to you the Comforter. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that on Pentecost you poured out your Spirit in a powerful way, and your Spirit has been with us ever since. Thank you, O God, for that beautiful benefit. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, your love, your willingness to forgive us of our sin. Thank you this morning for our students, and particularly our seniors, our graduates. Father, I just pray that you would guide them in life, that they would cling to you, that they would trust you with everything, that they would look to you and consult your word for life's journey. We do pray also, Father, for the names on our prayer focus. There are many. We pray for continued healing in those that have had surgery, some as recently as this week. Some others will have surgery soon. We pray for those in the journey called cancer, that you would continue to strengthen and encourage them, draw them close. We pray for all of those names, Lord, for whatever the reasons, we lift them up to you and ask that you would be near and comfort them. We pray, Father, too, for our community, our families, our region, and our nation, that people would turn to Jesus Christ, be born again, be filled with your wonderful Spirit, and walk in newness of life. We pray, O God, for that over and over again. I too pray this morning, Father, for the other churches in our area. Guide them, bless them, use all of us to bring you glory. I do pray this morning too, Father, for other pastors. Some have learned of new diagnoses, and some have been battling some things. Strengthen them and encourage them as they shepherd your people. Guide us now, Lord, as we look at your word and as we celebrate your Spirit. We just know he is here, and as we celebrate our students, some of them are here with us. Thank you for each and every one. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. About 10 days or so ago, when the latest Decision magazine from Billy Graham Evangelistic Association came out, one evening I got home and read the magazine, and it began to be evident fairly quickly that there was a resounding theme in there that kept re- repeating itself. It didn't seem to matter which author, there's a lot of authors in there, but nearly every author reiterated the words from Judges, reminding us that it appears we in America have found our place at this point in time of doing as they were in the time of Judges. The Bible says, and they were doing what was right in their own eyes. And so it didn't seem to matter if it was Franklin Graham or Billy Graham. They always have some sermons from Billy Graham in there, or Dr. Tony Evans or John MacArthur. They even had an article there from John Cooper, who's the lead guitarist for Skillet. Some of our young people know what Skillet is. Do you not, young people? You don't. Yes, young people. I thought so. I told the earlier service, Skillet's a little hard for me, but John L. Cooper, their lead guitarist, had an article there too saying what these other authors were saying. It seems we have found ourselves in the time of doing what's right in our own eyes. Franklin Graham said this, and I quote, "Our nation has slowly and steadily drifted away from God, perhaps even turned our backs on God in so many ways. And," he said, "we are now reaping the devastating consequences. I believe," he said, "we have come to the perilous point described at the end of the book of Judges where everyone did what was right in his own eyes," Judges 21:25. And Franklin also said this, "I saw a poster recently that said, truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth." Did you get that? He said, "I saw a poster recently, truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth." And that is a reality. I end quote. In Judges 17:6, there's another story there and another verse, and this one says it like this. This is 17:6 of Judges. "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." I just want to say this about doing right in our own eyes, okay? Before I go any further. So whether you're a student or a graduating senior or your family and friends are part of our regular congregation, I just want to say something more about that. Even though it seems like in society, and particularly in America and maybe around the globe, I'm not sure, it seems like we're having a problem discerning the truth, we still have a truth. Amen? I had the privilege last year of speaking to the graduating seniors, and I spoke about the truth. I have that privilege again tonight to speak to seniors. I'm going to talk about something else. But I want us to be certain of this. Even though society wants to do, as the time of the judges did, what's right in our own eyes, we're kind of not sure of what the truth is, or if you suggest to me the truth comes from here, the poster that Franklin referred to is probably right, I will hate that because I don't agree with it. But I want to assure us there is still a truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth." Jesus said, "I came to testify of the truth." Jesus prayed in John 17, and I think it's 17. I know it's chapter 17, might be verse 17. As he was praying to our Father and his Father, "Your word is truth." And so even though today we find it difficult to understand, there is an absolute truth and it comes from God. We want to do rather what's right in our own eyes. I want to say this because I'm not going to refer to it anymore. There still is a truth. Now, today, you know it and I know it. All over society, we would rather do what's right in our own eyes than to obey, adhere, listen to directives from the Word of God. Now, I know that by this time you're probably thinking, what in the world has this got to do with graduates and Senior Sunday? Friends, we live in a time that we have to decide whether we're a graduating student from high school or post-secondary or anything else. We live in a time when we have to decide, am I going to do in life what's right in my own eyes, or am I going to go with the Word of God and His truth? We have to decide that. We have to determine, is this still relevant? We have to determine, because if this is not relevant, we will do like they did in the time of Judges. We will simply do what's right in our own eyes. And I might add, if that is how we live and we conduct ourselves, at the end of the day and at the end of the life, it will not go well because we have done what's right in our own eyes and we have not subscribed to the Word of God. And so I suggest this to us, to our students, to our seniors, and to all of us today. We live in times we need to decide what we're going to follow. What we feel like or what God has directed. We have to decide, will Jesus, the Christ, be Lord of my life? Will He be Lord about everything in my life? Or is He just an afterthought? Or maybe if I get in desperate situation and I might need something from Him? We have to decide. May I say this, students, graduates, and family and friends, it's not that popular to walk with Jesus today. You still with me? It's not that popular. If I'm going to take a stand for the Son of God, for the Word of God, there will be opposition. To take a stand for Jesus today in our days after high school, whatever that leads to. Some of you I know will be going to the military. Some will be going to post-secondary. Some will be maybe getting married. Some will be going to the workplace. We have to decide, am I going to take a stand for Jesus? Your faith will get challenged when you do. Your faith will get challenged in school. Charles can tell you more about the military. He spent 3 decades there. Your faith may get challenged there. Your faith will get challenged in the workplace and in the city square. Craig Weigel and I were at a city council meeting here some months back. And I was simply there on behalf of the Staples Motley Ministerial Association because we as decided as a ministerial association we wanted to offer prayer to our city councils. So the brothers in Staples were going to offer that in Staples. Our brothers in Verndale offered that in Verndale. And I was here at the city council meeting many months ago to offer simply to our city council, simply offer prayer to begin their meeting. As I was on the agenda, the mayor brought it up, kind of the beginning of the meeting, and even though I was just there to offer as part of the agenda, I wasn't there necessarily to pray that day, somebody intervened, somebody that was on the council, and said, and I quote, "This is not the place for that. It does not belong here," end quote. So he told the mayor, he told the rest of the council, he told me and the rest in the audience, when I was simply there to offer prayer to their decision-making in our city, there was opposition. And so, students and friends, I'm telling you today, we have got to decide, are we going to do what's right in our own eyes? Are we going to follow Jesus? We've got to decide that. And when I suggest to us, I think it's the best way to follow Jesus, I'm not talking about being dogmatic or fighting. There is a time and a place to take a stand. Don't get me wrong. I could tell us stories like that. You know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When the rest of the multitude was told to bow down to the idol, they took a stand for the living God. Daniel did the same thing when they were told, "You can't pray to your gods no more." He made a commitment, "I'm going to keep praying." He ended up in the lion's den, but he took a stand. So I'm not suggesting we be combative, dogmatic, but we need to take a stand. We need to decide, am I going to stand with Jesus? We need to decide that. The world, as we look around us, our nation, like the time of Judges, it appears, has decided. And they have decided, collectively we as a nation, have decided to do what's right in our own eyes. That's one option. It won't end well in eternity if we choose that, but that is an option. God will not force you, students or anybody else. He will not force you to choose and to follow Jesus, but he invites you. He loves you. He sent his son to die for us, and he invites you and us to surrender your life, your agendas, your will to Christ. But he will not force you. The option to do what's right in your own eyes is still there, but it will not end well. Now, for these last few minutes, I want to encourage our students from one of my favorite verses. It's Philippians 3:10. I read most of that first part of that chapter in the earlier service. I'm not going to do that. I want to focus on Philippians 3:10. Challenge you with that, and then celebrate with our seniors. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he makes a statement in verse 3 when he says, "For we are the circumcision." Now, they would have put, you know this, they would have put a great deal of emphasis on the Jewish people, would have put a great deal of emphasis on circumcision. It goes way back to Abraham. But he says it differently to this group of people. He says, "We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus." That would be different than putting confidence in the fleshly things. We are of the circumcision who worship the living God in spirit and have our faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus. And then he begins to dialogue in this chapter. You can read it. I'm not going to read it all for us. About the things we could put our confidence in. He suggests, "I got a few things." You can read it there. "I got a few things I could have put my confidence in. I was, in fact, circumcised on the eighth day," he said, by the way. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Pharisee, for goodness sakes. His point is, I could have, and we could put our faith and our confidence in stuff. My church membership, my 3 college degrees. I'm not saying anything of these are bad. I'm saying he could have and we can put our confidence in that, or we can put our confidence in the risen Christ. And so he lays out this argument, if you will. I could have been confident in all of this stuff. But then he gets to verse 7. He said, but what things were gained to me, I have counted loss for Jesus. And then he says further in 8, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Okay, we're going to go through life, Lord willing. You're going to live some years yet, students. We're going to go through life, and we're going to gain some intellect, and we're going to gain some degrees, and we're going to gain some experience, and you're probably going to get married sometime, and you're going to have a family perhaps sometime. And we've got all these things, and you might get some trophies, and you might get some ribbons yet. You might get some awards. And Paul says, I had all of that. But comparing to Christ, all of that is rubbish. All of that, he said, is not that important. It's not going with you to eternity. I said it this way to a couple last night that I was getting ready for premarital counseling, and to a couple last Sunday night that were getting ready for premarital counseling. I said to them both the same thing as Paul is saying. At the end of life and at the end of the day, none of my titles matter. None of my stuff in the flesh matters, only what I have done for Jesus. And Paul is saying to us students, and to us that are all more than students, older I should say, there's a lot of stuff. And some of it is necessary, and you're going to use it. But don't get hung up on stuff of the flesh. And he gets to verse 10. That's the one I want to emphasize. He says, let me just move in from 7, part of 8, into 10. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ, and count them as rubbish. That's in verse 8. And then in 10, that I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to his death. You see what he's saying, friends? He said, I had a lot of stuff. I had a lot of experience. I had a lot of zeal. It was misguided. But he said, I look back now on life and I count all of that as rubbish that I may gain Christ. And the closer students, seniors, people of God, the closer we draw to him, the less we're going to even think about or care about what's right in our own eyes because we want to please him. And Paul said, when I look at all the stuff, it's just rubbish. I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want to know him so well. I am willing, even he gets to the other end of it, to be made conformable even unto his death. I want to know Jesus is what the heart's cry of the Apostle Paul was, and to the church at Philippi, and I believe to us. Oh yes, we have the option. We can do on this side what is right in our own eyes, but it will not end well. Or we can be and feel and long and desire as Paul did, I want more of Jesus in everyday life, in my college career, in my military career, in my when I marry my husband or wife, in my family raising, I want Jesus. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? That's what Paul said is important. Yes, you're going to use your college career. Yes, you're going to use your military career. Yes, you're going to use your experience you gained in life as you move on. But nothing is more important than Jesus. And this cry of Paul should be the cry of the church, that I may know him and even the power of his resurrection. Let me just say this, friends. You're never going to experience resurrection power unless we're willing to die to self. The Bible says we must die to the old ways. We must crucify the old flesh. We're never going to experience the power of his resurrection if we're still living for self. And so, I want to encourage you, students. In a couple of ways. Number one, when we offer to you this morning a gift of a Bible, and I know you have Bibles, but when we offer to you this morning a gift of another brand new Bible, these are Life Application Study Bibles in a couple of different translations. But students, I want to plead with you. Use the book to guide you in life. If you read nothing else but the red letters of Jesus, use the book. Let it guide you in life. And so I'm going to say this and then I'm going to close. We're going to watch a video about our seniors. When you read and study the book, you're going to find these golden nuggets of truth that speak directly to you. I assure you it will happen because God loves you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know his will. And when you open up your Bible and you read these golden nuggets of truth, I pray that you will adopt things like Paul said here, that I may know him. That I may know him. That I may know him. There's nothing else as important.
Loving God, merciful Father, we thank you for your desire for that personal, intimate relationship with us. We thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to amend our sinfulness and to bring us closer to you, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit to guide us and to equip us in order to bring others into your kingdom and to glorify you. So, Father, wherever we may be at this point in our life, help us to, through the power of your Spirit, to step out one peace closer to you, to move closer, and to be more comfortable in that loving relationship. Guide us this week. Help us in our relationships that we would reflect the love of Christ and be your ambassadors, witnesses to the world, just like Pentecost, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.